This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Playoff hockey's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Washington, what do you say? The Caps are gonna win today. They're singing, go Caps, go. Go Caps, go. Hey, Washington, what do you say? The Caps are gonna win today.
Thank you, Tom Wilson. Thank you, TJ Oshie. Take a bow, Alex Ovechkin. Find that empty net Evgeny Kuznetsov. Braden Holtby, a calming influence. Two games on the road in Columbus. Two wins. They didn't take overtime, and this is what a laugher feels like. A calm 4-1 casual blowout victory over the Blue Jackets. We got ourselves a series. Caps, Jackets tied at two.
I hope you'll remember, my friend Grant Paulson, that the gentleman sitting to your right, a chiseled, handsome son of a gun. No, I'm kidding. It was me. I'm an ugly gargoyle. But I predicted a Capitals victory to even the series at two games apiece. I tell you what I didn't have. A normal hockey win. A non-overtime, nail-biting, ulcer-inducing bag of nonsense where leads were blown. Regretful things were said and tweeted and later deleted. None of that stuff. Normal. It happens all the time. The Penguins win 5-1. The Bruins won 4-1 last night, or whatever it was, 3-1. Multi-goal wins are possible. It's allowed under the rules that govern the sport. You are allowed to be better than a team and have that better translate into a casual victory. Such was the case last night. Is that as good a Caps performance as they've had this year?
It was amazing. Redskins schedule, by the way, we'll get into that at 10:30. John Wall being a problem. Time to trade him, according to an expert NBA analyst
well,
on 106.7 The Fan. We'll get into that at 11 o'clock. But yeah, let's start with the Caps and pulling even in this series. They dominated Columbus. This was the best 60 minutes they've played in the four playoff games. And to your point, go back to the regular season, it was the best 60 minutes they've played in a few months. They outshot the Jackets 33-24. Chances were an even larger discrepancy. They won 64% of the faceoffs taken last night.
Yeah, Jay Beagle.
Jay Beagle's a difference maker, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
He batted 1,000 through two-plus periods in the faceoff circle. And with him in the lineup, defensive drone draws are such a non-issue and nothing to worry about. They won on special teams, a power play goal, 3-for-3 on the penalty kill. They largely stayed out of the box, just 3 penalties, 6 PIMs. Two of those were a joke. Tom Wilson got penalized 2 minutes for being Tom Wilson.
That's his fault for being Tom Wilson.
They blocked 20 shots. They had 7 fewer giveaways. They played a complete, outstanding, heavy, forecheck like maniacs hockey game, and they finished what they started. Lo and behold, up 2-0 in the third period, there is a 1.2% chance over the last couple of years in Capitals playoff hockey that the third goal is going to be scored by Washington. They're up 2-0. The next goal is Columbus's. The question is, will it be Boone Jenner? Or will it be Artemi Panarin? Or is it going to be Cam Atkinson?
Everyone
who's going to piss me off? Nope. It's the great eight from Evgeny Kuznetsov after a beautiful outlet pass from Christian Juice to get it started. Barry Trotz, you were right. I was wrong, and I apologize. Ovi, tickle twine. It's 3-0.
Coming now is Wilson. Right side into the circle. A shot blocked and run down by Cole. Coming away, the shot. They score! Wilson gets it out to Ovechkin. It's a 5-on-5 goal for Alex Ovechkin with 17:11 to go. It's 3-0 Washington.
Alex Ovechkin had 2 goals in game 2, had multiple points in game 3, and again last night, multiple points in game 4. That is now 6 points in his last 3. He guaranteed the Caps would come back to D.C. 2-2, and the captain was right. He backed up what he said. His teammates backed him up. A brand new all-even series thanks to that big goal last night. And then it was 3-1, and, well, 3-plus minutes left. John Tortorella pulled the goalie, and most of the time an NHL fan says, well, we'll tack on a goal in an empty net. But if you're a Caps fan, you remember when the Rangers pulled a goalie and scored a couple goals to tie up 3-1, and you go, hopefully this is a lot of time left. Hopefully the Caps don't give up a quick goal here. Evgeny Kuznetsov, send everyone home angry in Columbus.
Still only 23 shots for the game as Panarin was wiped out by Eller. A shot, they score! Evgeny Kuznetsov into an empty net, and Washington is going to even the series here in Game 4. It's 4-1 Washington!
So we do this segment to kick off my post-game shows on NBC Sports Washington that we came up with at the beginning of the year. It's just thumbs up, thumbs down, right?
Sure.
Best of the night, worst of the night. For thumbs up, I wrote down about 8 different options and debated them. Among them, Braden Holtby, who made 23 saves on 24 shots. Ovechkin backing up his declaration. Lars Eller being tough on the puck a couple of times to create some chances, including that fourth goal from Kuznetsov, as you heard in the John Walton highlight right here on The Fan. Tom Wilson.
Tom Wilson, man.
Willie had 0 shots through 2 games. I eviscerated him on this show. He's had 13 shots and 2 goals to give him a 1-0 lead in each of the 2 games in Columbus, 3-4. 13 shots leading the team on net on the road these last 2 games. I ultimately went with Willie, but there were 85 options. Could not come up with a thumbs down. It was that quality of performance.
Think about years past, and you have no choice to do that if you're a Capitals fan. So we're feeling good today. The anxiety will come back tomorrow. We can deal with that then. When years past as a Capitals fan, how many times, and you touched on it, have you outplayed the opponent for 57 minutes, you're up 3-1, and somehow the game goes to overtime, and somehow something fluky happens? They didn't allow it to happen. That's what was so special to me. That's what's been missing for me, for my Washington Capitals fandom, for my entire life. It's the, you're better than them, and they die. And they die a painful death under your boot heel. Yes, 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 thank goodness. For one night only, just in town, one night only, you get the awkward size of exiting. You get the goal goes in to make it 4-1, and you can hear the silence. But before the silence, you hear the sighs and groans of the home crowd. It is the most joyous sound on the planet. I love it so much. I want to bask in it. I want to bottle it. I want to chug it. I want to have a marketing campaign where everyone gets to drink it. The tears of my enemies sustain me. Eat that, Columbus. I hope you swallow bile as you lay in your bed wondering why it had to happen to you. You have a fraction of my pain, sirs and madams. Go home pissed off. That gave me so much joy last night.
I've said all along, when the Caps got even in this series at 2 games apiece, if they were able to, the pressure would shift to Columbus. And part of me still feels that way, but now we're here, I'm not sure if I completely agree with that.
Hard to say.
For this reason, the Blue Jackets were not the favorite coming into this series as a lower seed. They've never won a playoff series themselves. There is not that high an expectation this year that they make a deep run. My logic and rationale was, they're up 2-0. The expectations and bar now raise. And if you don't win a series when you're up 2-0, it is viewed as a collapse, and people will overuse the incorrect word, choke. So there's a pressure not to basically give a series away.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you're back to even footing, and this thing kind of starts anew, which is what happens tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, Capital One Arena. Best of 3 series, 2 games at home. Again, I would say the Capitals are the favorite. Now that they're back 2-2 in this thing, with momentum, having won 2 in a row on the road,
right,
all you have to do is protect your home ice. All you have to do is win 2 of 3 against a team that you've won 2 of 2 against coming into this now, best of 3. I'm not sure that I would say that the pressure is on Columbus. I think to some extent, even though, yes, they have put themselves with their backs against the wall in a situation, in a position where people are going to say that they gave the series away, and that's embarrassing. I still think now, again, all the analysts start to say, well, the Capitals are going to win this series.
Yeah, it becomes...
Plus, if the Caps are out, let's say, in 7 games, if they were to lose the next 2 and lose in 6, obviously this would be a terrible look.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they lost, they win here, protect home ice, they go to Columbus in Game 6 to end it, and the Jackets force a Game 7. If they lose in a Game 7 in the first round, when they recaptured the momentum, The loose puck was finally corralled, and it looked like they had a chance to put them away. I still think this would be viewed as a meltdown for Washington because they only have a couple more bites at this apple with Ovechkin. And I pointed this out the other day. I don't think it's completely unreasonable or ridiculous to say this could be Ovechkin's last playoff appearance. You just don't know. If they get knocked out in the first round, Barry Trotz is out. They probably turn things over to assistant Todd Reirden. They don't re-sign John Carlson. Who knows? Maybe they trade Nicholas Backstrom. This could be it, the last opportunity for Alex Ovechkin. So I think if they lose in Game 7, it's not going to be reviewed favorably as, man, they really fought and they got back into that series.
Right.
It's going to be viewed as, you lost to Columbus in the first round. You didn't even get to get knocked out by Pittsburgh in round 2 this year.
No, I think you're right. I mean, here's the thing. There's going to be pressure on the Capitals because of their history, fair or not, no matter what. There just is. There's tension. There's tightness. There's awkwardness. There's even some of it's guys. These guys aren't responsible for it. It's not Nicholas Backstrom's fault that Mike Gartner couldn't beat Kelly Rudy a million times before he was born in 1987. But there we are. We wear all these things, right? But this group, this core, this cast has done this so many different times. And yeah, so the pressure of closing out a series has a lot of times been too much for them to bear. And we've seen that. We've seen that a million times over. So I think you're right. Now, the other part of this is Columbus, as much as you need to and have to start with the Capitals last night, how good they were, because they were. I think you touched on it. Everybody gets a thumbs up. Everybody gets a plus sign from last night. That's as bad as Columbus is going to look, I think. You're naive if you think John Tortorella, that rat, isn't going to have these guys ready to go and flying off the walls come tomorrow.
Matter of fact, we'll play his post-game audio next segment because I want you to hear it. It was fantastic. He was furious. He basically refused to engage with reporters and just kept saying they laid an egg, they stunk. I'm not going to get into the details. He was outraged and apoplectic, and you're right. I think they're going to be a lot better. They'll
Can't
come out playing
again.
For their postseason live in Game 5. I mean, they're going to fly around at Cap 1, so you guys need to bring some energy if you're going to the game. Let's open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines for you next. We'll do it this way. Redskins schedules out. Generally, we lead with that, but not after a playoff game in town. 10:30, bottom of the hour, about 17 minutes from now, we'll get into a detailed breakdown of the Redskins schedule for you. We got one segment for your calls on last night's brilliant Caps performance. They were great. What'd you guys think? 800-636-1067. What'd you love about last night? Can they carry over the momentum? 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan.
We weren't good. There's no sense asking me things about the game. I'm telling you, we laid an egg, so I'm not going to break it down for you. We sucked. So let's move by it and see if we play better Saturday afternoon.
With that in
George,
mind,
you're scaring me here. I'll tell you right now.
In the second, were you a little surprised then that it didn't pick up going into the second period? Down only 1-0 after that first. Were you a little surprised it didn't pick up in the second?
We laid an egg. That's all I have to say, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not going to break it down for you. Nothing went well for us. It's on us. We have to figure it out, and we will.
Why do you think is that? Is it fatigue? Is it nerves?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Oh, my God.
That's funny. John Tortorella, head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, postgame last night. I love that it's someone else's coach having to give that press conference.
Makes me so happy. Sounds like he's getting ready to plant a caper in the town. You know what I mean? Like him and Ben Affleck, there's an amica. You're gonna have to be there. I don't know, bro. Just so distraught.
I believe if you keep playing that clip a little bit further, his next quote was, what Mrs. Marshall's trying to say is there's a 44th patient. No one's ever been more from Boston than 59-year-old John Tortorella, who I can't stand, but a lot of NHL people love. He's just like the biggest jerk in every room he's in.
He can... And John Walton came on, who I love. I love John Walton and sung his praises because, like, you know,
everyone calls him torts and says that he's the coolest guy.
I'm sure. How about this? I hate his guts, and I hope he loses, and I hope he's sad. Hope he gives a press conference to an empty room when they're eliminated. That's what I want.
That'd be nice. Caps have to win 2 of the next 3. So here's how this is going to work. At 10:30, we're going to pivot to the Redskins schedule. It came out last night. There's a lot to discuss. We've got about 7 minutes available for you right now on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines for your calls. They are wide open at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What'd you like about last night? Couple of things. Number one, there was a shift in the third period that exemplified why the Capitals dominated the Jackets last night. It took place about midway through the third. The Caps, notoriously good at not stepping on a team's throat. They normally turtle up and kind of play this defensive style of hockey that ultimately leads to you not adding to leads. They were forechecking like crazy. There was a shift specifically. It was largely the second line, but Jay Beagle instead of Nicholas Backstrom was out there just based on some quirkiness with Chandler Stephenson and TJ Oshie. And if you go back and watch the shift, TJ Oshie exerted the effort that you would typically only see in an elimination game when you're down a goal and the puck's in the offensive zone you're trying to tie with like 30 seconds left. He was flying around. They were up 3-1. He was winning puck battles. He was lifting sticks. He was checking people despite having had who knows how many hits to his head post-concussion now in this series over the last couple of days.
He got dinged early on in the game, too.
He did. I was worried about him.
Yeah, me too.
Went to the ice, and I thought, here we go again. He was amazing on that shift. So was Chandler Stephenson, who was a star last night. Tom Wilson has made a bigger turnaround and renaissance in this series in Columbus than anybody else after the two games where he was bad in Washington. Took penalties in game 1 and game 2 that led to goals for Columbus to tie the game. Had 0 shots on net. I mentioned 13 shots. He scored the first goal in game 3, the first goal in game 4. The Caps, by the way, have a lead in all 4 of these games. They've scored first, and more often than not, they've scored second first in all of these games. It's amazing.
So just looking at it, the thing I was most impressed with was, and I thought Locker pointed this out on the telecast last night very, very well, is Columbus wants to come charging through that center. And he goes, they're taking away the center of the ice, Joby. And it was turnover after turnover. The attempt at these like dagger-type passes that were sort of cutting through the defense. It's like looking for a backdoor cut in basketball. And they weren't there. They weren't there. They weren't there. The Caps were skating with Columbus, funneling things to the outside where things ended up being kind of harmless. To me, it was one of those reasonable, good defensive accountability type games from all 5 guys on the ice, regardless of which line, regardless of
the
shift.
Best defensive game they played, easy.
I thought it was sensational. I really, the thing that I've been worried about, and we'll continue to worry about until this series is over, then I'll worry about Pittsburgh or whoever the hell else, but
it'll be Pittsburgh.
It's the Caps defenseman getting the puck out of the zone, clearing the zone with these forwards that are just relentless and Columbus just beating you up, right? That's what they want to do. I thought last night it was never an issue. Only a couple minutes, I think, maybe in the second period where they really tried to throttle it up, and the Caps said, that's nice. We're fine. We'll keep clearing it. We're okay. The moment never looked too big for them, and it usually does in those kinds of circumstances.
Holpe was outstanding, and he deserves a lot of credit because he could have gotten down on himself when he lost his job to Philip Grubauer coming into the playoffs. I was adamantly against starting Braden Holtby in game 1. Barry Trotz, I think, did the right thing by going to Grubauer. He didn't respond to the opportunity. And he wasn't bad in game 1. He just didn't help enough. Game 2, he wasn't good enough, and he was probably bad on a scale. And so you go to Braden Holtby. He was solid in the third game. He was great in the fourth game. 23 saves, 24 shots. He didn't have to make any grade A's and any 10 bells because defensively they played a sound enough game. But he was so quiet and calm and everything looked easy because he was always in the right position on deflections. The only goal he gave up, there's really nothing he can do about it. It was stick in front of the net, knocking a puck 5-hole like the Caps have scored a few of with Tom Wilson and Jay Beagle in this series. You just, whether you're Sergei Bobrovsky or Braden Holtby, you can't stop that. But a .958 save percentage last night, only gave up the one goal. He's a big reason why this series has turned around. But defensively, you're right. Kudos to Matt Niskanen, I thought, was outstanding last night. Brooks Orpik, a +2. I'm not a big plus-minus guy, but he had the best plus-minus of the defensemen. Kempney was solid again. Dmitry Orlov didn't have any gaffes, had two shots on goal. John Carlson joining the rush on offense, 3 shots, was pretty responsible. And Christian Juice, who did not in any way factor into the stat sheet, really, other than one blocked shot.
That's all I care about.
He didn't hurt them, and he made a sensational pass to get the rush started that led to the Ovechkin goal in the third period. And it wasn't that he went vertical. It was horizontal, basically, to get the puck across the ice, and Tom Wilson and company drew it into the offensive end, and next thing you know, after the Kuz pass, Ovi was scoring.
I think of him, Juice.
That was a big play for Juice.
I think of him like I think of special teams for the Redskins now. Just don't screw us. I don't even need special plays. I don't need anything plus. I don't need a punt return for a touchdown or a block kick or anything crazy. Just don't screw us over. That's how I feel about him. And if you don't, we'll be okay. He's your 24th or 25th guy. You know what I mean? I have no issue with him just being okay.
You know who I watched the game with last night was Haley Skorupa, a gold medal winning 2018 U.S. Women's National Team Olympian.
That's a gold medallion.
Third time world champion and now an Olympic champion.
That's
where's number
cool.
11 on Team USA Women's Team. She's from Rockville, big Caps fan. So she came in for pre and post with us. She couldn't have been more fun, by the way. She was awesome. But first time in my life I've ever worn a gold medal. And people were like, you know, you're not supposed to wear the medal. It means you'll never win one. I guess my chances just went down.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
People were actually like telling me that on Twitter. They're like, you know, if you wear a medal, you're not ever going to get to win one. Do you think I'm going to pick up curling tomorrow? Like, what sport do you, what do I have a shot to win a medal in?
With all due respect to my pal Grant Paulson, not in any danger of winning a gold medal. Not in any danger.
I'll probably just not win one still.
Before or after donning somebody else's gold medal.
Couldn't believe that was
people's
point.
That should be okay. I hate people. Let's start there and work backwards.
But first of all, they're so heavy. They're so heavy.
That's gold, dude.
I think she said it was like 1.5 pounds. It felt like 7 because it's just kind of on this really thin ribbon that wear around your neck. Couldn't believe how heavy it was. Have you ever worn or seen or held a gold medal?
Seen? Where did I see? I definitely saw a gold medal. Never worn one. Never
Have
got
you held
to wear
one?
It. No. Where did
it was
I see
the
it? It was like a
thing.
Display case somewhere. Somebody
I actually
had a
got
gold
weirdly
medal.
Excited. Like, I didn't think.
Dude, it's
when
cool.
I heard she was coming in, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. When she was there with the medal and everything, I was like, taken aback. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's you were somebody that's the best in the world at something. That's
right.
Pretty neat.
It's very neat. Redskins looking to be the best in the world in 2018. They may actually have a chance to get off to a quick start for the first time in a while with their early season schedule. We'll explain next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's just after 10:30, and you're locked in to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We are on Twitter. Follow Danny at FunnyDanny for good sports content, a lot of panicking about D.C. sports teams, and the occasional funny barb.
You've got to follow my friend Grant H. Paulson for Grant H. Paulson-type experience. Don't follow the regular Grant Paulson. That guy tweeted about Glenn Beck in 2013.
That's
Grant
right.
H. Paulson, he does sports.
He does.
Grant H.
11 o'clock. Brian Geltzeiler was on Chad Dukes versus the World yesterday. He's a respected NBA voice who is pretty smart and sharp when it comes to hoops.
I'm a huge fan of his.
He crushed John Wall.
Yep.
Eviscerated him and said that maybe the Wizards will trade him this offseason. For the record, I disagree with a lot of what he said, but we're going to play that audio and react to it coming up at 11. And if you missed it, you're going to want to hear it in 25 minutes right here on The Fan. Let's get into the Redskins schedule, which was released yesterday with the rest of the NFL schedule. Can I say first, I do not understand the infatuation with the trickling out game by game of the NFL schedule. Here is what I get excited for. When the schedule's out in its entirety and I can look at it, give me that. The yesterday at 12:30 in the afternoon, sounds like the Redskins will be playing at the Bucks November 11th. And then that's a news item? I just don't care about that. What is the logic that someone's going to go book their flight right away? Like, why is that a thing that people clamor for at this point?
I don't get it. It's a calendar. and the calendar subject to change. It's bizarre. It's weird. It's because, obviously, we're so star for NFL news.
We already know the opponents, by the way. We know who's coming to FedEx and where the Redskins are going. So then, like, someone will say, the Redskins are at the Titans in December. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do now.
Yeah, it's, again, it's futile. It's dumb. It's because we're so starved for NFL content, and this counts as legitimate news because they tell you that it's a special. I mean, you would have laughed 30 years ago if someone said, we're going to televise the draft over 3 days. People would have been like, what? Are you crazy? They turn things into spectacles. This is one you're not going to get me in on.
Now, if you want to tell me the Redskins are opening with the Cardinals, I'm intrigued by that. You want to tell me there's another Thanksgiving Day game against the Cowboys in Dallas? Sign me up. Items that are big, sure, but this is what all day long in every market, you got like one or two games trickling out here or there, and I just thought it was the weirdest thing in the world.
It's this Twitter thing. Hearing that the Cowboys might play third, go away. I think it's so dumb. The whole thing is one of those overwrought dances that I'll never get. People make fun of me for liking the Combine. At least that involves football. That involves like prospects and players. Yeah, and activities. I mean, it involves like evaluating prospects. This is, again, a calendar. People are going nuts over a calendar.
Let's go through the schedule. We will not be predicting wins and losses. We don't do that on this show on April 20th. However, we will kind of give you an idea of what's going on for the Redskins on their slate. So they open the year with the Cardinals in Arizona. Among the particulars here for week one, the Redskins will open the season on the road for the first time since 2014 at Houston. They're going to be seeking their first road win to begin a year since they beat New Orleans in Robert Griffin's first game in 2012.
Seeking Jay Gruden's first win in openers. He's 0-4.
Yeah, that's because they're 0-5 in their last five season opening games. Last game with Shanahan and four games with Jay Gruden. The Redskins are 11-3 against the Cardinals dating back to 1999.
Wow.
Nine of the last 11 contests they've beaten Arizona. They have a great chance to get off to a fast start. The Cardinals have a new head coach in Steve Wilks. Sam Bradford presumably will still be healthy then, although he will play in a couple preseason games before that. But the Cardinals have not had a particularly good offseason. They have a brand new head coach. And I think they're ticketed, according to a lot of people, to be in the 5-6 win range. That's an extremely winnable week one game, followed up by a home opener the next week coming back to the Indianapolis Colts that the Redskins, again, should absolutely have a great chance to win. The Colts stink. Frank Reich is their new head coach coming over from the Eagles. You open up at home where the Redskins historically are very good in those situations. I saw this in a Redskins press release yesterday. They have played 48 home openers since the 1970 merger. Think about how bad they've been just over the last 25 years.
Uh-huh.
48 home openers. How many do you think they've won?
Out of 40, 25.
30.
They're 30-18?
For a team that every metric, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, outdoor, indoor.
They're bad at night, bad inside, bad outside.
Considerably under 500.
Yeah.
They're 30-18 in their season openers. Now, again, they're 0-4 under Jay Gruden over the last couple years. But the Redskins historically have had problems with the Colts. They hold a 7-6 advantage in home games against Indianapolis. Last time they played the Colts and beat them was a 26-21 win October 27th in 2002.
Ooh.
The last time they beat the Colts at home.
At home. I believe that was that 75th anniversary or 70th anniversary season.
Probably was. I faintly remember unis. Peyton Manning having like a stinker.
Yeah, Manning had a terrible game, and it was surprising.
So that's the first two games. My favorite thing about the schedule is they got a chance to get off to a good start. Then it gets a lot tougher really quickly. They've got the Packers at home, at the Saints in primetime, and the Carolina Panthers three straight weeks. They don't play a division game until week 7.
So a couple notes about this. We'll go through the rest of it, obviously, and give you all the info. But the bye week is week 4. I hate that more than anything. It's my least favorite part of the schedule. I need my bye week right smack dab in the middle. You need that extra recovery.
Well, let me say this real quick.
Yep.
They have the Thanksgiving game against the Cowboys,
which provides a little bit of
extra. That's another bye week, basically, because you get a week and a half off before your stretch run of 5 straight games.
And you're going to notice, as you just alluded to, Cardinals, Colts, Packers, there's 3, Saints, Panthers. That's 5 games before a division opponent. This is another year where you have a backlog of division opponents at the very end. So you'll play your second divisional game, again, we'll get to it, in the 8th game of the season against the Giants. The most you can be is 2-0 in the division, or 0-2, 1-1, whatever the heck, right? Then you've got 4 of your last 6 are divisional games. That is sort of cramming it all in there at the end. Other notes, the NFC South, the best division in football last year, is who the Redskins happen to have drawn this year for their, or the NFC East is drawn for their interdivisional opponent, whatever, right. Interconference opponent.
So a couple other things that jump out at me. Thanksgiving again. I enjoy the Thanksgiving game. You don't?
No, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, yeah. So I enjoy the 4 o'clock Thanksgiving game or the 8 o'clock Thanksgiving game. In general, I'd prefer that the Redskins don't play because it's a chance for me 3 times to see other games. But Dallas Cowboys, 4:30 on Thanksgiving. This will be now the third time
in three years
the Redskins have played on Thanksgiving. It's becoming a thing.
Yeah, the NFL's trying to make it a thing. Other notes on that. I hate that it's at 4:25. Not because I like them playing on Thanksgiving. We've had this discussion. The problem is it's that stupid stadium because it's stupidly constructed and it's dumb and I hate it. That dumb sun streak will come in and guys will not be able to kick field goals as happened a couple years ago. Guys will not be able to catch passes that would have resulted in touchdowns and later won't be a factor. I hate that. I hate the design of the stadium. I hate that place. I hate Dallas. I hate that it's at 4:25 because of that.
A couple things I also like. The December schedule. So they will be playing at home twice in the division. They will not be on the road in the division after December 3rd against the Eagles. But in terms of cold weather, brutal atmospheres with snow, week 15, they're in Jacksonville. Now, you can get a chilly day in Jacksonville. I was there in a December right around Christmas game where there were some flurries when I got off the plane. But generally speaking, you're not dealing with inclement weather like you would if you're in Kansas City or you're in Denver or something like Pittsburgh late in the year. So I like that. They're in Nashville right around Christmas time. If you're looking for a trip to make.
That's a trip, bro.
And that's actually something that I would ask Redskins fans. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on the phones at 800-636-1067. I know a lot of people who every year try to make one trip to an opposing city, hang out for the weekend. You could go to Nashville on Friday, stay Friday, Saturday, Sunday into that December 23rd game. Jump on a Sunday night flight around 8 or 9 p.m. well after that game and get home in plenty of time for Christmas Eve on Monday when you're probably off work or can take off into Christmas Day on Tuesday. To me, the trip to Nashville is the best play here, if not maybe the week one game in Arizona, which is an awesome place to see a game.
Here are my impromptu top 3 Redskins road trip rankings if you're going to do it. Nash Vegas, December 23rd, you touched on it. October 8th. At New Orleans is my number 2 seed.
Monday night game, though. You're missing multiple days of work. It makes it almost impossible.
Sure, I get it. It's not easy, but
you could
if you're committed.
If you fly out Friday night after work, you could be there all day Saturday, all day Sunday,
that's
all day
idea.
Monday, come back Tuesday, but you're taking vacation.
Yeah, you're taking vacation. Makes it a weekend. You've got to make a weekend of it. And then number 3, you would think it's Jacksonville. How about November in Tampa? November in Tampa. Go down to beat the Bucs, because here's my reasoning for it.
Eh.
I don't know how good the Bucs are going to be. You might feel pretty decent about getting yourself a W. Late season, it could be a meaningless game against the Jaguars as they're padding themselves, getting ready for postseason, and you could be going, I'm going to see a team that's not going to make it. I'm going to see a team that's about to finish 6-10. Is that much fun for me? Tampa Bay is my sneaky number 3.
I'm not a huge fan of that trip. It's a great stadium. I love Raymond James. Tampa, for me, is just kind of okay. But I get it. I guess my power rankings in terms of road trips would be 1, Nashville right before Christmas Eve.
We agree there.
2, you're sleeping on Arizona to open the season. You see the Redskins' first game of the year. It is a 4:25 Arizona kick. So you can maybe get out on a late flight, red-eye it back. And if you had to, you could be in the office on Monday. I would take that day off and just be back on Tuesday. And then I guess my 3rd trip, I'm saying no to New Orleans, no to Tampa Bay. A lot of divisional stuff there. Tough. I guess my 3rd trip would be just going to Dallas for Thanksgiving and maybe spending Thanksgiving in the parking lot and having a full weekend in Texas to hang out and go do stuff after that because it's a Thursday into a Sunday and you're off for the holiday anyway. 800-636-1067 is the number. We're Grant and Danny. What do you make of the Redskins schedule? What stands out to you? One more item we have not hit on that I want to. There are no primetime home game.
That's what I want to get to.
We should do that next as well. What do you like? What don't you like? Redskins schedules out. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines available for you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll get into what Brian Geltzeiler said about John Wall on Chad's show yesterday. If you're a Wizards fan, you'll definitely want to hear it. We're going through some of the specifics of the schedule that stand out to us. I love, and this is selfish and personal, but I think a lot of you can relate to this selfishly in your own lives as well, that the Redskins will not play a primetime game at home short of something being flexed.
So correct.
You're going to make the point that they lose at home and all that. I don't care about that. What I care about is it is such a late night, and for people in this town, it's very difficult. You play a Monday night game at FedEx Field, the traffic after work getting there is tumultuous. The traffic getting out is horrendous. You get home from some of those games at 1:30 in the morning, and then you're turning around exhausted the next day and going to work. You know what's better than that? 1 o'clock home games. They play the Colts at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. They play the Packers at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. They play the Panthers at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. They play the Falcons at 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
Delightful.
They play the Cowboys at 4:25 on a Sunday. That's the latest start time. Texans, 1 o'clock. Giants, 1 o'clock. Eagles, 1 o'clock. I love that.
So delightful.
I want 1 o'clock home games. Tailgating by about 10:30, breakfast, brunch, whatever you prefer. You're out of there by, even if you want to hang out and have a couple pops in the parking lot if someone's driving you home after the game, you're still getting home in time to watch the end of the Sunday night game and get a reasonable bedtime in. Primetime home games, while they can be fun, are exhausting and logistically nightmares. And there's not one of them this year.
Yeah, and they lose in primetime. That's the thing that I care about. No primetime showcases. They should always be at 1 o'clock. They should refuse primetime games. They won't, but they should. The couple things that stand out, you've got the two Monday Night Football games. Both are on the road, as you alluded to. New Orleans and I believe Philadelphia is the other one there. So that's awesome. Then, of course, the Thursday game. The fewer times the Redskins are in primetime, I think the better it is. Because when the league decides, you're a primetime showcase team. There's some expectations that kind of go with that, right? There's the league deciding you're showcase worthy. And that's never good for the Redskins. That's an over-promise, under-deliver type scenario. That's the, we're ready for primetime. They're not. They should be at 1 o'clock, and the only time other people outside of D.C. should see them are on the occasional Red Zone channel highlight. 1 o'clock home games, please. 1 o'clock as often as possible. That's what's so delightful. I love it so much, Grant. I love it.
Stretch run is always of intrigue when a schedule comes out as well. Can you get hot down the stretch? It's going to be pretty tough this year. You'll have the defending champion Eagles two times in the last 5 weeks. You'll have the AFC championship competitive Jacksonville Jaguars with 3 weeks to go in the season. The Titans were a playoff team as well. And the Giants, who stunk up the joint, but should be a lot better. So if you look really from Thanksgiving on, the Cowboys are probably in the 500 mix. The Eagles are going to be a playoff team. The Giants, I think, will be in the 500 mix.
I think they'll be better.
The Jags are going to be not only a playoff team, but a true contender. The Titans are going to be very likely a playoff team. And the Eagles are, again, a Super Bowl contender. You don't even know what you're getting out of the Texans, to be honest with you, because with Deshaun Watson, they were a lot better.
Yeah, keep in mind, that was a really impressive group there with Deshaun Watson coming on.
Falcons and Bucks before them. I mean,
And J.J. Watt.
Their last game on paper that you say, they should definitely win that, is week one and week two. After that, it's kind of all toss-ups against some pretty good football teams.
And that's the league.
It's not an easy schedule, but also that's why we don't go through and do wins and losses on April 20th.
Yeah, because you don't know who the quarterback's going to be. You don't know who the running back's going to be. You don't know who's healthy, who's not. If you're predicting Redskins games now, it's irresponsible. And you don't know if they're going to have a game like Seattle last year where they dressed 40 guys because nobody was healthy and it was backup left guards, that right guards and centers that you never heard of that won't ever play in the NFL again. So that's why we don't do it now, because rosters haven't been formed. But couple other things that jump out at me.
Do they have a chance, by the way? I was just thinking about this. Do they have a chance to resod this year, schedule-wise? Is there a big break when they're not home for almost a month around the midway point?
So that, I was going to get into that. You're jumping to conclusion, Mats, and I like it. They've got a period, November 18, against the Texans.
Okay.
Then it's the Thanksgiving game in Dallas. Then it's at the Eagles. So you're basically talking about almost 3 weeks between November 18th and December 9th. I guess it's more than 3 weeks when they play between home games. So maybe that's enough time to do that. They also don't have what they had last year, which is some egregious travel where they had to go to the West Coast a bunch. That's much better. Their longest trip is their first trip. I'd rather do that than what they've done in years past. They also don't have the three road games. Remember, they had three road games in a row last year, and the NFL really, quote, tries very hard not to do that. Well, they didn't try that hard because the Redskins had to do it last year.
They do have four road games in 5 weeks, which is also pretty rare. When they're at the Cowboys, at the Eagles, home against the Giants, at the Jaguars, at the Titans.
Better stock up.
Tom makes a good point. They've got four concert dates into the offseason.
Yeah.
A couple Jay-Z's and a couple Taylor Swift's.
Terrific.
And they've got at least one soccer game that I know of. Do we have any college football in the beginning of the season this year? And they love
sure
to schedule
do.
One of those like West Virginia or Virginia Tech games randomly. Like
Notre
right
Dame will be
September
there for some reason.
2nd. Oh, Maryland, Texas is there. That's very exciting. That's worthwhile. What day is that going to be, Dar? Do we have any idea yet when that's on the schedule? And so we've got college football. We got four concerts. That's a lot of carpets being laid down, a lot of stages being moved around. What are we looking at, Dar? 9-1, September 1st. So they will at least have close to a couple weeks to turn that around after they have the Maryland game.
You want to do an over-under on what date the grass will be brown and disgusting? When will it look terrible?
I'll give you a casual week. Five-ish? Give me a cat. The weather has to start to turn a little bit into fall. Because generally in September, when the weather's better, they can keep up. It's when it's not growing as well and all these events take their toll. I'll say we're into autumn at that point.
I think you sleep on the fact that when it gets churned up, there's nothing they can do. I think it's going to get churned up by that early season. I think you might even see the home opener with not the gross end of season brown nonsense where Griffin laid on the field in the brown heap and it's the worst image in the history of the Redskins. I'm talking about a little bit of tint, a little bit of hue, a little bit of Hugh Jackson doesn't look right. I think October 14th, home game against the Panthers, you will see people going, what's the matter with the Redskins field?
Their second home game.
Third home game.
Okay, so you're saying the first month. I thought you were saying the season opener, which that's too early.
I think you'll see a tinge against the Colts. I think it'll be bad against the Panthers.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Pete, 5 minutes from now, has got your update, and then we're talking John Wall. You got to hear what Brian Geltzeiler said. Hint. He thinks he might get traded, and he thinks he's a big problem for the Wizards. More on that on the Fan Moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.